Please be seated. Each year in the sixth week of Eastertide, we keep the Rogation Days. They're observed on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so tomorrow and the following days. The word rogation is from a Latin verb, rogare, which means to pray. In Rogation Tide, we pray for the crops that are being planted in this season, asking that God provides that perfect balance of sun and rain and moderate temperatures, that there may be a fruitful harvest in the fall. And as I think you know, there's an ancient Rogation custom of processing along the boundaries of the geographic parish. And in rural areas, that means moving amidst farms and fields and praying for the harvest. And this is the source of our annual Rogation procession when we do our modified version and process around the churchyard, stopping at the four compass points and offering prayer. We may do that this morning. We'll see what the rain is like. It's kind of misty now. The ushers will give me a determination right before. But either way, we will either move around the yard or we'll stay inside and offer prayers. But we will keep Rogation this day, because I think Rogation is important. Rogation Tide ultimately reminds us that we too are part of creation. We are not separate and above the created order. God is the creator of all, the author of all things, birthing into being everything that exists. And humanity is part of this great web of creation. And we are given a particular role, that of being the stewards of all that God creates. And so it's fitting, as we are keeping Rogation Tide, that in today's gospel, Jesus continues that image he began last week, or that we heard in last week's gospel, that image of the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and God is the vine grower, the farmer, the one who gives the growth. Just like vine and branches, we are called to be connected to Jesus, his life flowing through us, because apart from him, we have no life. And Jesus calls us to be so connected that we abide in God's love. Such a beautiful image. This image of resting secure in God, of dwelling in God's love, of making God's love our home, our dwelling place. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God is present with us always. God dwells within us, breathing in and through us, sustaining and nurturing us. In the Spirit, we are connected to God. God's Spirit is present with us and gives us life, just as that life flows from the vine into the branches. And Jesus assures us that he loves us and calls us to abide in him, to dwell in his love. And Jesus also commands us to love one another as he loves. Now, typically in our culture, we understand love as emotion. We talk about feeling love for someone. We talk about falling in love, love sweeping us off our feet. This language suggests it's something beyond our agency and our control about it all. It takes possession of us. It happens to us. We also, I think, often think of love as being reciprocal. We love those who love us in return. And while these are valuable and important experiences of love, they have great meaning for us, this is not entirely the love that Jesus is commanding. Jesus is calling us to that and to something which is more demanding, something which is how he loves. The love of Jesus is powerful. It is life-giving. It calls forth our full personhood. It realizes God's intentions for us. The love of God is strong, defeating the dehumanizing, death-wielding ways of our world. God's love overcomes evil and injustice. God's love frees from oppression. And God's love cannot be earned. It is not deserved. The love of Jesus is freely given, whether or not it is reciprocated. Jesus simply loves. It is that kind of love that we are called to as followers of the risen Jesus. This is the command of Jesus. And that word itself may also be surprising. Who thinks about commanding someone to love? How can we make ourselves love? But that gets to the heart, I think, of what this love is about, because it's not something that's easy, and it's not something that's natural. It actually requires, in some ways, we suspend our human impulses. We give up our individualism, our greed, our fear. We let go of how we might feel, because this is love that never expects anything in return. It doesn't ask, what's in this for me? This is love freely given just because. And we can only live this command to love by the power of God. Abiding in Jesus, who is the source of love, we are filled with love that flows within the Trinity, within that community of love. The love of the Trinity flows outward from the three persons to humanity, and God's love fills us to overflowing. We are just filled with divine love so that it spills forth from us to other people. Abiding in the love of Jesus, just as the branch is connected to the vine, we can love as Jesus loves. We can love with love stronger than death, with love that defeats the evil forces of this world, with love that calls forth the dignity, the freedom, the full personhood of all people. And so this kind of love may have emotion attached to it, but at its heart, it is choice. It's moment by moment deciding to love. It is a way of life. This is the habitual practice of desiring the best for each person. It's the discipline of seeing everyone as beloved of God, seeing in everyone the abiding presence of Jesus, seeing that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and me and everyone else. It's treating all people as loved and beloved of God. The love of Jesus transforms us into people who love much, who work for the well-being of others and for all of creation, who labor to oppose unjust and evil systems of our world. And we can see this power of God's love at work in those first followers of Jesus. We've been hearing about them in the Acts of the Apostles in this Eastertide. We see how the power of God's love is at work in them, how after the death and resurrection of Jesus and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the disciples are empowered. They leave behind their locked room of fear, and they become the presence of the risen Jesus in the world. They do the things that Jesus did. They preach, they teach, they heal, they even raise the dead. And they wrestle with the life-changing implications of the wide, inclusive love of God. And we hear that in our first lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles. It's the conclusion of a longer story. What we hear is Peter preaching that God shows no partiality. Human divisions and boundaries fall away by God's all-embracing love. Now, what comes before this is a story I think some of us know. It's the story of Cornelius, who's a faithful Gentile. And Cornelius is praying. And he has a vision that says to him, send for Peter the apostle. And he does. And at that very same moment, while Cornelius is praying, Peter is praying. And Peter also has a vision. It's that familiar vision of the sheet that's been lowered. It has unclean animals on it, those that are forbidden by the law for Peter to eat. And Peter hears a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Oh no, I've never eaten anything unclean." But the voice challenges him, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." And Peter experiences this vision three times. And in Scripture, if something happens three times, you better pay attention. And Peter does. He knows this is important. And this vision is not an easy one for him. It challenges how Peter has lived his entire life, how his faith is expressed. And it calls Peter to something that's difficult and challenging, something he wrestles with the whole of his life. And then meanwhile, while Peter's having that vision, the people sent by Cornelius come, they find Peter, and they bring him to meet Cornelius. And that gets us to today's lesson, where Peter is preaching after he meets Cornelius. And Peter sees the Holy Spirit has been poured on these Gentiles. And between that vision and what Peter sees, Peter understands God is doing something new, something unexpected. And Peter responds by saying, "We need to go along with this." He baptizes the Gentiles. He makes them members of the body of Christ. Peter asks a poignant question: "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" This is a radical action for Peter. It's going against the practice of the church. It will cause tension. Peter, as I say, will struggle with this throughout his life. But Peter can't resist that reality. The Holy Spirit's doing something new through Peter, through Cornelius, and that changes them and it changes the church forever. It widens the welcome of the body of Christ. God's love breaks through, shattering human boundaries, transforming the followers of the risen Jesus. As I've said before, we are baptized into that same body. We are given the gifts of that same Holy Spirit. And like those first followers, so Jesus calls us to follow his commandment, to love one another deeply and profoundly. And this is only possible when we abide in Jesus, when we are so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that we allow God's love to flow in and through us and flow outward to all other people. If we cut ourselves off from Jesus, rejecting his invitation to abide in him, we are like that branch cut off from the vine that withers and dies. Without the life of the vine flowing through it, the branch cannot live. It can't produce fruit. We are like that branch. We're called to abide in Jesus, the love of God flowing in us, flowing outward to love others as Jesus loves. And if we do that, if we abide in Jesus and allow the love of God to flow in and through us, it enlarges us. It recreates us. It inspires us to live the wide, embracing, inclusive love of God. And abiding in God's love bears much fruit in us. And living this way, the joy of Jesus will be ours. We will find our joy complete. The inclusive, boundary-breaking love of God is stronger than the forces of this world and leads us into true and abundant life. The love of Jesus is strong enough and large enough to embrace all people and is so abundant that it never ends. And so in this Rogation Tide and always, may we abide in God's love. Through our witness in word and deed, may others know God's abundant, life-changing love. Amen.